Good morning. Today is Thursday, the 7th of March. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Sheriff Billy not up for election, Billy Hounsell.
That's right.
Or not elected.
I'm elected, but I got got 4 more years at this
Miss it?
I did not miss it. Not whatsoever.
The engagement in the community and all that kind of stuff.
You know, I'm already out there in the community engaging, and that doesn't...
Oh, you're such a lover boy. Come on.
You know.
If your gun is drawn, that's not out in the community.
No, but I'm not out in the street, you know, busting heads and, you know, taking people to jail. I'm the person out there in the community that's listening to the needs and trying to address those things
You're not running.
So let me give you
Back
my
down, baby.
Let me give you my stump, my speech here. So we're running re-election 2028.
This is a stump. I'm standing on it. Okay,
exactly.
That's your stump speech.
That's
good.
It.
All right. So. Here's your question. What exactly is a last ditch stand?
Last ditch stand. Well, I'm assuming that's maybe a World War II reference to the trenches and so digging that trench and standing and holding the line till the death. And
he only missed it by 400 years.
Oh, okay.
In the 16th century.
Okay.
When an army attacked a walled city or fortress, they would advance by digging a series of trenches for protection until they were close enough to storm the walls. If there was a successful counterattack, the invaders would retreat by attempting to hold each trench in the reverse order from which they had advanced until they might find themselves fighting from the last ditch.
Got it.
If they failed to hold that one, the battle was lost.
I would say so.
Yeah.
There you go.
So you just had somebody pay you a visit yesterday after robbing a bank?
Oh, I'm not familiar with that. I didn't know. Tell me about it.
Oh, bull.
I'm serious. Yeah.
Guy robs a bank, and then he comes into the courthouse and says, I did it, and here's the money?
No.
Your guys are there?
And... Okay. Well, that's news to me. So I didn't.
Really?
Yes. So,
oh. So I can't give you a hard time on that.
Can't give me a hard time for that. But
right.
It doesn't surprise me, though. It doesn't surprise me. You know,
people are crazy.
So when I was working in the Bay Area, there was a series of bank robberies in Sunnyvale, where I used to work down there. And it was very odd because it was... Every 2 weeks, a guy was robbing a bank, and he was asking for a specific amount of money. Coming in and saying, I need $750 from the teller. I have a gun. Please give me this money. Come in with a mask. And so it was just very, very strange, right? So the third week, you know, of course, everyone is around thinking this is going to happen. And sure enough, the guy does it again in another bank, another location. And so we just kind of – I went to an area of downtown – where there's a series of bars in Sunnyvale, and I...
Oh, geez. And was this on...
I was on duty.
On duty or
I was
off?
On
yeah,
duty.
Yeah.
I went to the bartender and said, hey, anyone come in with cash and started buying drinks? Says, yeah, that guy down there at the end of the bar. I'm like, really? And the guy looks at me. He gets up from the bar, and he starts walking away, and he fit the description of the guy that robbed the banks. And so we ended up detaining him and finding out that was the guy, and he was just... depressed, out of work, and needed rent money and beer money. So he went into the banks to rob the banks for a specific amount so he can pay his rent and buy beer on Friday. So anyway.
So that's why you hang out at bars during
duty? No, but I'm just saying people do some stupid, crazy things. And why are we surprised anymore, right?
Yeah, I suppose that's the biggest thing. Not surprised, but disappointed.
Yeah.
Over and over and over and over.
Don't you think it's like hilarious now? Are you following what's going on with Gavin Newsom and our legislatures? Like, they're finally paying attention that crime is an issue here in California.
The whole San Francisco thing?
San Francisco, and also they're trying to pass bills that make it tougher sentencing laws for retail theft and people that are continuously stealing. We had these laws in place that there was. You know, if you got convicted of a petty theft and served jail time, that if you did it again, guess what? You're facing a potential felony. You know, if you continuously do this. Now, no one's going to state prison for 5 years for stealing a candy bar, right? Everything gets blown out of perspective for some of the, from some of the spinning. But you know what? Realistically, there's got to be those consequences in place. And now they're saying, oh, it's out of control. Crime's out of control. Yeah, what do you think is going to happen? We've had 10 years.
I know what's going to happen.
Of this kind
it's
of
called an election.
Yes, absolutely. And they have to have answers to these issues. And instead of going back and go, we made a mistake, no one will ever say that. We made a mistake. We should have gone to these progressive...
Which is weird. You know, I would like to think, and, you know, I mean, you have more interaction with the Supes than most do. Do they ever say whoops? Do department heads ever say whoops?
I think the smart ones do.
In public, because I would think that's normal.
I would say that people do make mistakes. Leaders make mistakes, and I think it's important to instill that trust with our communities and the people that we lead to admit when mistakes are made.
To try things that aren't necessarily slam dunk guarantee going to work, because then you don't do too much.
For sure, right? I mean, we can't play it safe. For sure,
for sure,
Ryan.
Dude.
For sure. Totally, man.
Yeah.
You know, this. I'm just gagging on all of these, you know.
You still need a PR person, don't you?
I do. I need a PIO bag.
For sure, dude.
So, but you're right.
Oh, I want to see that in a press release.
Man. Where is this going, man? How much longer do we have here
nowhere.
Today?
Nowhere. I mean, I'm sure there's a brick wall waiting for us somewhere.
Right. But it's just interesting. We're going to see more and more of this kind of people trying to turn. And instead of, again, looking to the state sheriffs, looking to the leaders, you know, the state, the governor and our legislators should be looking to the people that are the boots on the ground, that see this on the daily basis, say, hey, what can we do to help out with this problem with crime?
I would like to think that it's not a recognition issue. They know it is there. Now, how they deal with it or if they deal with it, that's different, but that there's recognition of problems in law enforcement, problems in education, problems, you know, across the board in each of the departments, and then try to find people that have solutions. I something must be different in Sacramento.
Right.
I think is kind of what it boils down to. Are the egomaniacs are so entrenched,
right,
that they can't give it up.
Right. Yep, I agree.
Oh, yep. See, there's that brick wall.
Okay.
Actually, it's more of a duck wall, but it's a brick wall for our purposes.
We got it.
All right. Wow. You didn't see the look Winston gave. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Sheriff Billy. So what's going on? You know, other than the election, any of our neighbors dealing with things that are kind of surprising for you?
You know, what we're seeing here is still, you know, I know we talk about marijuana a lot, but we still see elements of the transnational crime organizations coming in, growing.
Transnational. You've been reading again?
Yes. So we got these.
You mean the cartels?
We got cartels from all over the world still coming to Northern California to grow marijuana. And
so
which
why,
is still, it still blows me away.
Why here and not elsewhere? Is it the permitting that they're just able to hide so they don't have to?
So we're not even bothering with permitting. So that's not necessarily an issue here in Humboldt County yet. But we're seeing in Trinity County, we're seeing in Siskiyou County, some of the rural Northern California counties that don't have a lot of law enforcement support.
More remote.
Yes.
Remoter.
Yeah, more remote. And we're also seeing this. This is across the United States. So not only is it happening here in California, it's happening in, you know, Colorado. Oklahoma has blown up.
Yeah, that's what Will had said.
It's absolutely just, it's what we were facing here 20 years ago is exactly what's happening in Oklahoma now.
But what, like Wyoming and Montana and Idaho are too snowy? The weather just isn't?
The weather's right? Not conducive to it, but still there's illegal growing there. Yeah. But they're also seeing it in warehouses and other
that's
parts.
That's what I was
of
thinking.
The,
why go into the boonies when there's warehouse space downtown LA.
There is.
And not worry about it. Yep. Lots of, you know, just put in enough air scrubbers so that people don't know, or I would guess it would be legal down there.
It happens. It's happening all over. And that is a major issue. And some people are pointing to the border, which I would say it's definitely a possibility with you have these thousands of people coming from all over the world
and then
illegally coming into our country. Yeah. And now they have they're working this black market angle. And it's not only being distributed here in America, but it's also being distributed all over the world. Is their marijuana is going, you know, global here.
Do they? I mean, you never hear about drug busts of people trying to leave America. You know, you hear it coming in.
Right.
Are they popping people as they're going out, either at the Long Beach or at the airports or at the southern border?
I don't know. I don't hear about it either. But we know that it's happening based upon our intel. That's happening. We provide
must
that
be.
Intel.
I mean, if you're growing that much, yes. It's got to be going somewhere.
Yes, exactly. And so shipping containers, how they're doing it, how much do they regulate the outgoing ships as opposed to the incoming ships? I think they're more concerned about what's incoming than what's outgoing.
That would be logical.
Yeah, right. So I don't think there's a lot. I mean, I'm not sure, but I can only speculate. There's not a lot of security on that end. So
one of the things that was always discussed with the illegal grows was the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still happening?
Well, labor still is the biggest issue when it comes to marijuana. And labor trafficking is huge here in Northern California, or we're talking about illegal marijuana, because the price point is so low now, they can't just pay people hundreds of dollars a pound to trim. So they're being paid minimally. They're also, this is part of the enterprise here with let's say the Chinese coming in here and controlling this, is they bring in the labor from overseas across the border here, pay them pennies on the dollar to work on their farms. And then, you know, really just cause them to just, you know, they, a lot of times there's people that, that control them or control their families and, or a promise of a paycheck at the end of the season. Either way, they're held against their will, so to speak, because they fear that if they leave, they're going to be deported or somehow or another, they're going to be punished by the cartel.
So you're seeing here?
Not in Humboldt County yet. Because we still have a marijuana enforcement team that's very proactive. We still have a code enforcement team and with code enforcement, and that is really working alongside of us as well as Fish and Wildlife. So we're doing a lot together to try and combat the illegal grows here in the county. And some people say, well, why are you still having a marijuana team? We don't have a problem. Well, we don't have a problem because we still have this team in place, right? We don't want to give up any ground here.
Why do you patrol my neighborhood? There's no crime.
Right.
Well, let's think about this for a second.
Yes. Yeah. And so we have a period of time here where we're very happy with how things are going. We've seen this huge reduction in illegal marijuana growing here in the county. We can't stop doing our job. We can't stop, you know,
sure,
going after this.
What
but
about
there's people
expanding
that,
it? Is there any thought to have some kind of a contract with Trinity County? I mean, they don't have enough.
They
folks,
don't.
No. But they've got an awful lot of federally owned property. Are the feds patrolling their woods?
So Forest Service does have their rangers that do patrol their woods and do help out Trinity County quite a bit. California Highway Patrol does as well. But, you know, Trinity County is a very poor county with a lot of...
Nobody there.
There is no one there. The tax base is gone, and they're, you know, Tim Sachs is a sheriff. He's doing his best to try and, you know, hire people, keep people, retain them, and still maintain a jail and all the operations from a sheriff's office. And it's difficult. It's very, very difficult right now.
Well, I was thinking of some kind of a contractual agreement. You know, if you guys are knocking it out of the park,
yeah.
Well, if it's just the marijuana eradication team or what, you know,
yeah,
drug task force, whichever. What is the name? What is the real name now?
Marijuana Enforcement Team,
thank
the
you.
Met Team.
Okay.
Yeah.
And make it regional.
So what we've done.
Siskiyou County and Lassen.
Exactly.
And just do it and have everybody designates whatever percentage and you're a regional entity then.
So we have formed a coalition. Okay. It's the Humboldt County, Trinity County, Lake County, Mendocino, and Butte County. And then Siskiyou is coming in that as well, where this six-county coalition is focusing on labor trafficking, and these environmentally damaging illegal grows, these organized crime grows. And so we are working together. We are sharing resources, deploying resources, and we do help each other out.
It's 8:30.
right.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Mr. William Hansel.
Thank you.
Humboldt County Sheriff.
That's right. Thanks, Brian. Yeah. The respect.
No.
This is really,
this
really
is called
nice.
Labeling the answer for the question I'm about to ask.
Okay.
Not up for election in 2 years.
4 years.
Yeah, okay. Well, so you're not up for election in 2 years.
I'm not up for election.
So I was right.
Yes, you are. Okay, yes.
Thanks for drawing everybody's attention to that and putting a question mark on it.
Exactly.
Turkey. If there are the rural counties that are running into this kind of stuff, what about the metropolitan ones? You know, are we seeing it in San Francisco? Are we seeing it in L.A. County, marijuana grow? Are we seeing that stuff in every county? Or is it limited to those that have more square foot per person?
What we're seeing is organized crime goes where they can make money. And right now, L.A. has a lot of warehouse space, and you're going to see places where they do rent. They actually stand up dispensaries that look like legit storefront dispensaries that aren't licensed. And they'll come up in a strip mall somewhere, a dispensary, and they'll stand up on what looks like legit. And again, they're selling illegal marijuana out of that. Yeah, absolutely. And they're selling marijuana out of the storefront, and they have their people that they have labor trafficked in there that are running this. The big bosses are making the real money, and they're pushing these people out in the front, and they're selling all the goods for maybe 1, 2, 3 months before they're discovered, and Cal Cannabis comes in and they bust them. And the people that are there, again, are the low hanging fruit. And the people just pack up and move on to the next one. So,
and that marijuana, I would imagine, is not farm to table.
It's not. And so, exactly. There's pesticides and all sorts of issues.
You have just labels, right?
Right. I mean, but it all looks legit. It all, it's labeled,
packaging.
Oh, so there
is something that's printed properly.
Oh,
just,
yeah. They make it look legitimate. We've actually busted illegal grows that have packaging that looks like it's going to a dispensary.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. And they ship it across state lines to a different place. And we have, I mean, you have to think that illegal marijuana is making its way into the legal market somehow or another, that some distribution center is buying this stuff.
Well, nothing's perfect.
No. So.
Well, other than Humboldt County Sheriff William Hansel.
Well, Brian, thank you.
Running for election.
I'm not.
In 4 years.
I'm not perfect, but thank you. No. Plenty of issues.
Yeah,
for sure.
Okay. That's the last time you're going to hear that.
Exactly. Thank you. Yes.
We can't
have a political advertisement, you know, on this show.
Hey, we're out of the window now.
Oh, we are. Okay, good.
We're okay. Are the challenges that our county has, are they endemic in all counties? Or we always hear that how we're different, and everybody says that they're different. Okay, but with the mental health stuff, with the drug stuff, with some of those challenges that we see, experience, and I guess have grown up with, a lot of us. Are they visiting every county?
They are. We have 58 counties in California, and, you know, every couple of months the state sheriffs get together. We talk about the trends, crime trends, and things that are happening within our each county. And each county does have its own unique challenges, but every county has similar challenges. One, mental health. Mental health cases are going through the roof, and us as first responders are being inundated with these kind of calls, and we see the necessity to have this bridging between mental health clinicians and law enforcement co-responding to, you know, some of these cases that we deal with.
Is it the same type?
It It is. I mean, it's the same type throughout the state. It's people in crisis, and it may be acute, it may be long-term, it may be diagnosed issues. But the fact is, you're having some crisis that's causing a person with mental health issues or mental illness act out violently or make threats. And at that point in time, 911's called, they're threats, they have a weapon, that kind of stuff. Then we have to go at that point in time. Someone's life is threatened. We're going, we're trying to intervene. We have all the right tools. We teach our people all the crisis intervention training. We teach de-escalation. We teach all these things. We have less lethal weapons on us and lethal weapons. And we have to take all this stuff into consideration when we're talking to someone down. But the one piece of element here, despite all of our training and everything else, that person that's suffering that crisis has to be willing to be de-escalated. And they have to be willing to come down. They have to be willing to listen. They have to be willing to be able to.
Why?
Well, because I can't make someone de-escalate their issues, right?
Isn't that the concept of, like, in a more physical situation? Sure. Taser?
Well, we have to get.
Buy time?
So, absolutely. So what we do is we teach our people to have time and distance. You know, unless there's someone that's actively hurting someone or an active threat, we want time and distance. And
we're just kind of let them mellow out.
We want to try to mellow them out as much as possible. We want to talk them through and try to relate to them and try whatever it is for them to try and think about the big picture and think about why the decisions they want to make as far as carrying out the threats or hurting themselves or hurting others, why that's not a good idea. So we talk to them. We try to be personal with them. We try to not be threatening and those kind of things. But we also can't let our guard down. Right. There's certain times there's law enforcement officers throughout the country now that have taken this to the next level and they've let their guard down. They've put themselves in harm's way in situations.
Try to be their buddy.
Well, they think this is part of their job to de-escalate to the point where they're putting themselves in jeopardy. And someone has a knife and next thing you know, they're getting stabbed because they're too close.
Right.
Or they're getting shot or whatever else, and they're compromising their own officer safety. So we don't want to do that. We understand there's certain risks of this job, but we can't, you know.
We don't want to be
stupid. We don't want
either.
Collateral. No, we don't. Yeah. But there's also so much scrutiny when it comes to law enforcement. We know that we're Monday morning quarterbacked on every situation. If we happen to get an officer-involved shooting and our person does everything right, they've tried to de-escalate, they've done everything right, and still we have to take a life. That is so traumatic to us. But then also the after fact is that, you know, we have to deal with the people questioning every decision that we make and wondering if this was excessive force. And I understand that's a part of it. And there is always an investigation. But it's also people coming, you know, giving law enforcement, you know, lots of scrutiny because of the action that took place when we didn't oftentimes dictate that action. The person suffering the crisis dictated a response, and we had to respond at that point in time.
With those who will question decisions or actions, have you ever tried role-playing with them? Put them in the situation and run it through? Not real time, because, you know, if it takes 4 or 5 hours, you know, you're going to have a lot of standing around. But put them into something like that so that they can perhaps understand a little bit better?
We've done this in the past. We actually have a force option simulator now too, which, you know, we can put someone in front of a screen.
Purposes?
Yeah. And say, listen, this is a situation where someone is armed with a firearm, armed with a knife, threatening suicide, something like that. And now here's all of your tools that you have. And now you can interact with them. And based upon, it's a force option where you're talking to them. And if you de-escalate the person, then they'll come down. If you don't say the right words, then they're going to spool up. And you can see that, you know, sometimes people, you know, can't be talked down.
So what is their response to that?
People are oftentimes surprised. They don't realize what they are capable of doing, or the situation is that, you know, that someone sometimes doesn't want to, you know, go along with the program.
So they learn a little bit.
They
from
do
that?
Learn. They do learn.
They develop then a little bit of empathy?
I would say so. Okay. Because walking in someone else's shoes, you always get to experience something a little bit different. And I feel like, in general, it's like we as a society have to stop being so critical of seeing a snapshot of one thing and coming to quick judgments. We got to stop that. We have to take everything in consideration. We have to, like, give people sometimes the benefit of the doubt or know that there's another side of the story. Think through some of the things you see on the news. Think through some of the things, the videos you see, and look for that other side. Try to get the full story before you make a judgment.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft Salad Dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time, it's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Billy Hansel. What's the biggest surprise that folks would have about the routineness of the Sheriff's Department? Or the day-to-day?
The day-to-day. I think some of the biggest surprises is, you know, every day we have... You know, we have 17 to 19 correctional deputies that show up to work every day that work in that jail that people drive by on 4th and 5th Street. And, you know, that jail is a 24-hour operation. And we have guys working 12.25-hour shifts. And so it's 12 hours, 15 minutes.
Well, I got it. I mean, 15 minutes is like...
Briefing.
Prep time?
Know, it's basically it's a transition between, okay. You know, when going on and coming off. So we always have to have someone in the dorms. We can't say, hey, we'll see you in 15. The next shift's coming on. So...
Be good.
Be good. Absolutely. But also, I mean, people just... When you think about a sheriff's deputy, you think about that patrol deputy that's on the street, that's patrolling, that's answering 911 calls. But, you know, being a patrol deputy, I mean, we have deputies that are serving in courts, that are serving civil papers, that are out doing search and rescues, that are dedicated to this job. You know, one of the cool things that we got...
Hopefully not to the job. Hopefully to the community.
Well, to their job, I should say, which is being a public servant.
You really do need that PR guy.
Thank you, Brian. Public service.
That's William Hansel, Humboldt County Sheriff.
We do stress service in our public service, so that is very true in the job. And you know, one of the cool things that we actually got this week is we got a new ocean vessel through a grant.
Is that like a life raft?
No,
is this a boat?
This is a boat that's can navigate the bay, but also can go out into the ocean. It is a...
Really? Kind of like the lifeguard concept?
Well, kind of, right? Because we
through
do have...
Through the breakers and
yes,
that stuff?
Absolutely. Because, I mean, our jurisdiction goes out 3 miles, you know, from... You know, into the ocean.
Shore.
Right, shore. From the shore.
Yes.
Thank you. Gosh.
City boy.
I know. So we have this jurisdiction throughout the 100-some-odd miles that we have here of coastline. And so what we have is we have a lot of responsibility for search and rescue. We have a lot of responsibility for a lot of operations. And we're tasked with all of patrolling all the waterways within Humboldt County.
So you and the Coast Guard obviously are holding hands.
We are. They have a much bigger jurisdiction. They do a lot of the search and rescues, those kind of things. But we do this together. Now we have offshore wind coming, right? We have this pledge, $400 million to build out this dock. We have another, you know, the private entities that are really pushing this. And you know, there was there's a lot of issues being brought up as such. What is this going to do with crime? What is this going to do with traffic? How are we going to regulate this? Who's going to be responsible for law enforcement in all these things? You know, we're trying to lean into this. We're trying to lean forward into kind of projecting because this is going to come across, you know, this is going to become our responsibility rather quickly.
Well, and if you appear as if you have your act together.
Yes.
Notice there are a couple asterisks on that.
No.
But, okay, hey, they're doing something proactively. They want us. They're prepping for us instead of, here we are,
right.
And now you've got that lag time afterwards.
Right. There's a lot of issues that may be coming in from, you know, transitory dock workers. You know, there's a lot of people coming in that's going to support this. How is that going to affect our crime rates? How is that going to affect maybe some of the issues we have here with you know, people being labor trafficked or sexual trafficked?
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows, right? All these things are. So what we're doing is I'm having our guys reach out to places like Long Beach and LA County Sheriff's Office. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All those different harbors and that kind of stuff to talk about how they enforce it. Because we're a microcosm here. Humboldt Bay, we're it. Bay Area, you have a lot of different entities that work together to secure the Bay Area ports. we and the Coast Guard and I guess the Port Authority.
Does Coos Bay? Are there parallels there, or do you have to go up to like Gresham or Seattle?
I don't think so. I think you have to see Seattle. I think Seattle, Long Beach, and then Bay Area, the amount of traffic that's going to come in here, I think people have no idea. It is going to be that much. They can't bring any of this stuff in through, obviously, rail. We don't have any, but also through trucks. Everything's got to be shipped in through vessels. And so barges are going to be coming
that
in.
Much activity,
there's going to be that much activity. And then the fishing industry is going to be inundated because there's going to be times when the channel is going to be locked down that they can't go in and out because they're moving these massive things in and out of the channel.
And they don't go fast.
They don't. And right now I have one boating deputy that does the whole county. And so that's not going to work in this kind of model. So we're looking at what's going to work to tell the county and also the people that are coming in, the manufacturers, okay, if you want a certain amount of protection, if you want, you know, all this infrastructure guarded, then we're going to have to talk about investment in law enforcement and investment in and how we're going to run this channel, you know.
So why the sheriff and not the harbor?
It's our jurisdiction. The state says it's our jurisdiction.
Oh, right. So we start with the state, we end with the state.
That's
Thanks,
right.
bud.
Brian, thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.
See ya.